May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Today is All Saints' Day. You probably noticed it from the front of the bulletin or for the change in the color of the paraments. We were green for so long, and then last week we had the celebration of the festival of the Reformation, where we went to red and then today to white as a reminder of the purity of God and of all of those saints who have been purified by Christ's blood. Those who have gone before us into the heavenly realms, having finished their course on this earth and having received their eternal reward. Today we remember Bob and Bob from our own congregation who entered into glory this past year. But you're probably also thinking about other people as well. Maybe someone that you loved who died this year. Or maybe it's been a lot longer than that. Today is a day to remember all those who we have loved and are no longer with us, to celebrate those whose faith has made them well for all eternity in the presence of Jesus. Today is also a day to contemplate the true nature of the church. And one way for us to do that is to consider the words of the Creed. Specifically, today we consider the words of the Nicene Creed. That's that statement of the universal church from all the way back in 325 AD that outlines our core beliefs about God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I got to thinking about the Creed this week because I happened to be in another service where the Creed was proclaimed. And generally when that happens, I'm struck by the fact that wherever you might go, the creed is confessed in the same words as it was written 1,700 years ago. 325. We are in 2025 right now. And so this year, many churches, many organizations have been celebrating many, many centuries, 1,700 of them to be exact, of the Christian church, the universal church on earth, proclaiming the Creed, our confession of faith, in exactly the same words. But this week I was reminded that there are those who would like to go their own way, believing that improvements can be made by changing words to either suit a certain theology or to cater to those who maybe have a particular axe to grind. In the service that I attended, the phrase that we just spoke together, God of God, light of light, was changed to God of gods, light of light. It's a subtle change, but one that makes a huge difference in the meaning. Our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is not just a God among many gods. He is God, the one, the only. And I would have been willing to chalk that up to maybe a mistake by the tech guy who put the slides together that were being projected on the screen in the front of the chapel, except that later on in the creed was the line, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven. And maybe, again, it's subtle, but did you hear that? Who for us and for our salvation. What did we just confess in the Nicene Creed? We confessed who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven. And when we say that phrase, who for us men, what we mean is all people. And that's the way that the Christian church has confessed it for all time. And then the kicker was the removal of all gendered language for God, not being willing to call him him, in the preface leading into the communion service. But despite my experience this week, I'm still awed by the fact that the Christian church here on earth, for the most part, has a statement of belief that unites us. That we can go just about anywhere and proclaim our faith in the words that we have learned, believed, and cling to as the statement of faith in the one true God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each week we confess in the creed that we believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. And each one of those words is important. First, we say that the church is one. But how can we say that? How can we say that the church is one? Look around. There are Catholics and Orthodox and Protestants. And then once you start getting into the world of Protestants, there are Methodists, Baptists, Pentecostals, Presbyterians, Lutherans, and any number of non-denominational churches. It's a wide array even within the Protestant church. So many choices that no one is even really sure about how many Protestant denominations there are. Some studies estimate that there are over 45,000 Christian denominations in the world. That's just mind-boggling to me. How is a Christian to know whether he or she belongs to the one true Church of Christ? As Lutherans, though, we have a wonderful answer to that question. We never say that we are the one true church on earth. We're not that arrogant. What we do say, though, is that the true church on earth can be identified by certain outward characteristics. That is to say that there are certain identity markers that let Christians know where the true church is and where it can be found. So you might ask, what are those markers then? It's simple. Word and sacrament. Where the word of God is taught in its truth and purity and the sacraments are administered according to God's command, there the true Christian church on earth can be found. That was Christ's command when he sent his disciples out to preach and to teach and to baptize. The church as a whole, of course, does many things. It runs many programs. It assists people. But what makes the church is her continual connection to God's word and to his gifts. Therefore, it doesn't necessarily matter what the church sign out front says. What matters is what takes place right here in the sanctuary. And if you've ever heard our district president speak, you've probably heard him talk about the work of the church and the fact that the work of the church happens around altars and pulpits and fonts. Everything that we do should be directing people to the gifts that God delivers right here in this place. Is God's word preached every Sunday? Is God's word taken seriously? Is the word preached in all of its power, never compromising the message or sidestepping the hard teachings of Christ? Are God's gifts held up in the highest esteem and handled with the utmost reverence? Is baptism understood to be a life-saving regeneration and renewal whereby God washes the sinner clean and creates a new nature within that newly baptized person? Is the Lord's Supper celebrated often? Is it understood to be what God says that it is, the true body and blood of Christ given and shed for the forgiveness, life, and salvation of all people? If someone can answer yes to all of those questions, then he or she can be assured that God is present and he's active in the service. But if the answer is no, then that's something else entirely. We can't be sure of what's happening there. Back to that phrase in the Creed, one holy Christian and apostolic church. We call this church that we are all part of holy. And yet only God is holy. Therefore, only He has the right to grant the status of holiness to someone else. We're not holy in and of ourselves, and we can never make ourselves holy in God's sight. Holiness is, in fact, a gift from God. We're holy by our connection to Him. God grants His holiness to those who call upon His name. And today, we remember all the saints of God. And we shouldn't limit that title of saint only to the saints who are now in heaven. By our connection to God and by the redemption that we have in Christ, we too are saints right now. Do you feel like a saint? Some of you are shaking your heads yes. Some of you are shaking your heads vehemently no. Some of you are looking at me in shock. You are all saints by virtue of that purity that God has given to you by the cleansing of Christ's blood. Even on this side of heaven, we say with Luther that we are both saints and sinners. And that means that we are saints because God is with us. But we remain sinners by our own nature and actions. We are both, then, simultaneously saint and sinner, and we will remain so until Christ calls us home to be with Him in heaven. So there are saints in heaven, and there are saints here on earth. But what's the difference? If you look at your hymnal, you don't have to pull it out now, but our hymnal makes the distinction for us about the difference between saints in heaven and the saints on earth. And we see it in the hymns that we sing. Our hymnal divides, somewhere in the middle 600s, two categories: the church militant and the church triumphant. Today, we sing about the church triumphant. That is the church that exists for all eternity in God's holy presence. We will in just a little while sing "For All the Saints," which tells us about those who are resting from their labors now after having been faithful. That is the church triumphant. Everyone who dies in Christ enters into that church triumphant and joins the wedding feast of the Lamb in His kingdom. The church militant, on the other hand, is all about the here and now. If you look at it, last week we sang hymn 656. You all know what that is, a mighty fortress. And that's in the section of our hymnal titled "The Church Militant." Today it's "For All the Saints," 677, in the section on the church triumphant. Because the church militant is about all about this church that we are in right here and now. Right now, we are part of this church, and we must continue to fight the good fight of faith here on earth. We do look forward to being part of the church triumphant when we will join with all the saints who have departed in this faith and now rest from their labors, but today we are a part of the church militant. And that's the reality that John speaks to us about in the epistle for today. He says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us." Or in some translations, "the love the Father has lavished upon us." That we should be called the children of God, and so we are. It's a love that was showered upon us before we were even formed in our mother's womb. It's a love that's with us throughout our lives as we walk with the King of Love, who knows us and who leads us along the way. And it's a love that won't end even when our time here on earth ends. As John said, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. This is the beauty and the mystery of the church. That we are the bride of Christ, who has loved us from the beginning, since the beginning of all time. And he will continue to love us into all eternity. And when we get to see him face to face, like many of our loved ones already do, we will know that love in an even greater way than we can even now imagine. Finally, in the end of that phrase from our creed, we call the church Christian and apostolic. This means that we trace our roots back to the teachings of Christ, to the original band of disciples, to the very first Christian church on earth. To be the church of the apostles is to confess Christ at the center of all that we do, as Peter and James and John and the whole company of the apostles once did. We share with them in the universal mission to reach the lost, and in the one universal faith of Christ our Lord. All Saints' Day puts us in touch with these greater realities, these unseen wonders of God. It touches on the mystery of how everything is connected, how we remain connected to the saints who have gone before us by being the remaining saints who wait for the reward of our faithfulness, and who in our waiting receive the assurance of God's love through the gifts that he offers to us in his church, through word and through sacrament. This is why we love the church. This is why we fight for the church. This is why we support the church and her work, and why we rejoice in the blessings that we receive here in this place. The church is not perfect. That's not my point that I'm trying to make here today. We all know that the church isn't perfect. I look out there and I see many of you who know very well that the church isn't perfect because you've witnessed the reality of an imperfect church. Many of us have experienced that in many and various ways. And that's because it includes us. That's the truth and that's the reality. Sinners and saints struggling to walk the road that our Lord has laid out for us. But one day, the church militant will become the church triumphant. And all division and all conflict will cease. And all those who remain faithful to the one who gave everything for us will be reunited with the saints who have gone before us in the glory of life everlasting. Forever in the presence of the Father, the maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven. And in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. What a wondrous day and glorious day that day will be. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.